It was at a masked ball at the Palais Royal that Hector de Brissac's quarrel with his first cousin André began. The quarrel was about a woman. The women who followed the footsteps of Philip of Orléans were the cause of many such disputes, and there was scarcely one fair head in all that glittering throng which might not have seemed bedabbled with blood. There were many beautiful vipers in those days, and she was one of them. There was no need for mention of her name. The quarrel was a fierce one, and there could be but one result.
Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder, presents Beyond Midnight.
André,
I shall not swallow my words, cousin. I suggest you leave, sir.
An apology?
André de Brissac apologizes to no man. Hector de Brissac, I call you out, sir. Beyond the church of Saint-Germain-des-Prés. Dawn!
To André de Brissac, the insult was terrible. There was only one course of action. The journey beyond the church, where death for one of the cousins waited in the dawn, and for the other, a journey beyond midnight. The white mist rose from the river. The grim outline of the Châtelet and the square towers of Notre Dame were black against the pale gray sky. André de Brissac, the favorite of fortune, the favorite of women, his cousin was nothing. A rough soldier who had done his country good service, but in the boudoir, a mannerless boor. Hector de Brissac had struck André. A duel that very next dawn, there was no other answer. André de Brissac, young, confident, fighting with a smile which expected soon to break into triumph. André de Brissac, the welt raised by the blow struck by his cousin, crimson upon his fair, womanish face. They were a strange crowd in that summer sunrise, all fresh from the heat and clamor of the Regent's salons, all dressed in outlandish costume for the masked ball. André, in a quaint hunting dress copied from a family portrait of Pivasson. And then, a rapier flashed in the early rising sun. And André de Brissac lay on the ground, the sweet life ebbing from him.
One who believes that a man has done with earth because his eyes glaze and his jaw stiffens. They will bury me in the old vault at Piverton.
And you will be master of the chateau.
Oh, André, please, listen to me.
I know how lightly they take things in these days.
Dubois will laugh when he hears Sarr has been killed in a duel. They will bury me and sing masses for my soul. But you and I have not finished our affair yet, my cousin. I will be with you when you least look to see me. I, with this ugly scar upon the face, that women have praised and loved.
Andre, forgive me.
I will come to you when your life I will come between you and all that you hold fairest and dearest. My ghostly hand shall drop poison in your cup of joy. My shadow shall shut the sunlight from your life. Men with such iron will as mine can do what they please. Hector de Brissac. It is my will to haunt you when I am dead.
Andrea, you will say I am forgiven. Say I am forgiven, Andre. Andre.
And fortune's favorite died, a curse upon his lips. Hector's friends would have him cross the frontier to escape the consequences of his act, but he remained in France. He kept aloof from the court and received a hint that he had best confine himself to his own province. André's death made Hector a rich man, but his newly acquired wealth was hateful to him. He lived a lonely existence in the old chateau. The servants and the peasants hated him. They served him, but hated him, because of the memory of their dead master, whom they loved dearly. As he passed by on a proud horse, his face as stone, glancing neither to right nor left, the peasant children crept away, frightened, and old women crossed themselves stealthily.
They whisper I have given my soul to the evil one as the price of my cousin's inheritance. I remember my mother's face in all its changes of expression, but I remember no look of affection for me. No woman's love has ever been mine. Perhaps it is that I am cursed. That other woman for whom I killed André. I laid my heart at her feet, and she was pleased to accept my homage. But she never loved me, and the end was treachery. But in faith, I cannot live like this. Everything is so dark, desperate, hateful to me. I must go back to Paris, at least for a short while.
And he did go back to Paris. And in Paris an angel took compassion upon him. He journeyed to Paris a broken, dispirited man. He returned to the chateau a king, with a fair young bride.
Eveline, I cannot find words to convey to you how sweet a change you have brought to my life. Now the children follow me, and the crones no longer cross themselves when I ride by, because I have a fair, fair bride at my side.
But why should they ever have run from you, Hector?
Oh, because... it's nothing. Merely that they loved my late cousin dearly, and were not happy that I was here in his place. Now they have forgotten him, and in fact, before very long they shall love me, too. They already love you.
Oh, why, Hector, how long have I been here?
Oh, no matter. One day, 2 days, a month. Your charities have won the love and respect of all these ignorant creatures. Your companionship has transformed the gloomy old lord of the chateau into a loving husband and a gentle master.
Oh, beautiful here. Well,
I feel like a traveler who has traversed the frozen seas of an Arctic region, remote from human love or human companionship, to find himself of a sudden in the bosom of a verdant valley, in the sweet atmosphere of home. Is it real? Is all this real, my Eveline?
Of course it is real, my love. Real, real, real. Of course it is.
And yet, somehow I cannot help feeling that my new life is but a fantastic dream.
Oh, never, my dearest. You are mine and I am yours, forever and a day. We shall never be parted. No shadow shall ever shut our sunlight away. Never. Hector. Hector, what is it, my sweet?
It is nothing. Talk to me. Say on.
But there is something in your face that is not good. What is it, Hector?
Nothing, I swear. It merely seemed that somewhere...
Yes?
Somewhere at a... At some time, in some other place, I have heard...
Yes?
I've heard those words, or some very like them before. Sometimes.
Words? What words?
Shadow. Sunlight, I...
Oh, is that not reasonable? Somewhere in all your man's life, you should have heard shadow and sunlight? Oh, Hector, really?
No, really, I... But silly, foolish. But you must know how sometimes one grasps at something, an echo. And for an instant, it seems as if it might prove to be important. And then it is gone again. The words meant nothing, I'm sure.
Oh, come. Come and see the new flowers close by the west gate. They're truly beautiful. Reds and yellows and blues. Oh, Hector, the chateau is the loveliest place upon the whole of the earth.
Hector de Brissac was not lying. He could not remember any significance the words shadow and sunshine might have for him.
My ghostly hand shall drop poison in your cup of joy. My shadow shall shut the sunlight from your life. My shadow will shut the sunlight from your life.
That he will haunt the steps of his enemy after death is the one revenge a dying man can promise himself. But if men had power thus to avenge themselves, the earth would be peopled with phantoms. Is it strange, then, that Hector had forgotten his cousin's terrible promise? It was the age of boudoir art, and a miniature set in the lid of a gold bonbonniere or hidden artfully in a massive bracelet was more fashionable than a clumsy life-size image fit only to hang on the gloomy walls of a provincial chateau rarely visited by its owner. In the library, though, Hector found a picture which awoke painful memories. It was the portrait of a de Brissac who had flourished in the time of Francis I. And it was from this picture that André had copied the quaint hunting dress he'd worn to the master ball at the Palais Royal on the night of the quarrel. Hector ordered a curtain to be hung before the picture.
Hector? Hector? Hector, who is the lord of the chateau nearest to this?
My dearest, do you not know that there is no other chateau within 40 miles of Pirvedon?
Indeed. Oh, that is strange.
Why strange?
Let us go into the garden.
Eveline, why is the fact that there is no other chateau close strange?
Oh, I would not say strange.
But you did say strange. Why?
Oh, Hector. It is simply because, well, during my walks about the park and woods during the last month, I have seen a man.
Man? What man?
Simply a man. By his dress and bearing, he is obviously of noble rank. I imagined he must live nearby, that is all.
Well, I cannot imagine who he might be. My estate lies in a desolate region. Unless when some traveller's coach goes jingling and lumbering through the village, one has little more chance of meeting a gentleman than of meeting a demigod. Have you seen this man often, Eveline?
I see him every day.
Where, dearest?
Sometimes in the park, sometimes in the wood. You know the little cascade, Hector, where there is some old rock work?
Hmm.
It is so neglected. We really must
Yes,
try...
yes. Go on.
Oh. Well, there is a kind of cavern. I've taken a fancy to the spot. I go there and read many mornings. Of late, I have seen the stranger there every morning.
He has never dared address you.
Oh, never. I have looked up from my book and have seen him standing at a little distance, watching me silently. I have continued reading. When I have raised my eyes again, he has gone. He must approach and depart with a stealthy tread, for I never hear his footfall. Sometimes I have almost wished that he would speak to me. It is so terrible to see him standing silently there.
He is some insolent peasant who seeks to frighten you.
Oh, no, he cannot be a peasant.
Why? Oh, you told me.
His dress, yes. But it is not his dress alone. Not by that alone do I judge. He has an air of nobility which is impossible to mistake.
Is he young or old?
He is young and handsome.
Huh.
Oh, do not look so disturbed, Hector.
I cannot help it. I do not enjoy the thought of a stranger intruding into your solitude.
He does no harm to me.
It is good for his safety, if not his life, that he has not harmed you. I shall go straight to the village and inquire if any stranger has been seen. I shall also question the servants.
Oh, Hector, my love. I cannot understand what...
Hector was more disturbed than he wished to admit to his wife. He could not exactly define why. He made full inquiries in the village, but no stranger had been seen. He questioned the servants closely, but they knew of no one new to the vicinity. De Brissac determined himself to accompany his wife upon all her walks, and to judge for himself the rank of the stranger. For a long week he did this, devoted all his time to rambles with Eveline in the woods and in the park, but no one did they see.
You tell me only a week ago he was here.
Here? Close by this tree, here. Oh, my darling. I fear truly that spending so much time with me is disturbing your studies. You are such a student, and you're wasting time, my sweet. I will spend my time in the Pleasance. The stranger cannot intrude upon me there.
I begin to think this stranger is only a phantasm of your romantic brain.
There is one thing that puzzles me, Hector. It completely mystifies me, in fact.
About this person?
Yes. His costume is not modern. He looks as an old picture might look, if it could descend from its frame.
Her words pained him, for they reminded him of that hidden picture in the library, and the hunting costume of orange and purple which André de Brissac wore at the Regent's ball. After this, Eveline confined her walks to the Pleasance, and for many weeks there was no mention of the nameless stranger. Hector dismissed him from his mind. During the days that followed, Eveline's health began to droop. The change in her was so gradual as to be almost imperceptible to those who watched her day by day.
You will go with all haste to Paris. Summon one of the court physicians to come here at once, at the request of Hector de Brissac.
But many days must elapse before he can arrive at Puy-Redon.
And he watched his wife with unutterable fear.
It is not only her health that has declined. The change is something else. Something more than physical alteration. A bright and sunny spirit is vanished almost completely. She seems weighed down by rooted melancholy.
My darling one, I can see there is something wrong. Your every glance, your... What is it, Eveline?
I have no reason for sorrow, Hector. No reason for discontent. If I seem to you sad without a motive, then you must forgive me. Please consider it a misfortune rather than a fault.
There is a physician due soon from the court. He will find a cure. After all, if there are no grounds for sorrow, then it must be a physical thing and small at that.
Yes. Yes, it must be. Perhaps the good physician will be able to help me. I'm sorry to have distressed you in this way, Hector. So sorry.
Well, you really seem to have forgotten your mysterious cavalier of the wood.
Hector!
You have never seen him since you deserted your woodland grotto, have you?
Hector! I see him every day, and it is that which is killing me!
My darling, my love, this is madness. You know that no stranger can come to you in the Provence. The moat is 10 feet wide and always full of water, and the gates are kept locked day and night by old Massou. The châtelaine of a medieval fortress need fear no intruder in.
I see him every day.
Eveline. She must be mad. How can anyone possibly... But I must question her no further. It would be ill to give a form and substance to the shadow that torments her by too close inquiry about its looks and manner, its coming and going.
I must assure you, de Brissac, that your lady is completely and utterly sane in all respects. I have spent an hour with her and can find nothing.
Oh, thank you.
It is just possible that she may be affected by one delusion, but she is so reasonable upon all other points that I can scarcely bring myself to believe her to be the subject of a monomania. But I am rather inclined to think that she really sees this person of whom she speaks.
But
is there any kinsman of your steward or hanger-on of your household? A young man with a fair, womanish face, very pale, and rendered remarkable by a crimson scar which looks like the result of a blow.
What? No. And the dress, the strange old-fashioned dress.
The man wears a hunting costume in purple and orange.
And Hector knew that André de Brissac had kept his word, and in the hour when his life was brightest, his shadow had come between him and happiness.
Come, I will show you.
It is witchcraft, Hector. The dress in that picture is the dress of the man I have seen in the peasants. But the face is not his.
And then she described the face of the man who was following her everywhere. And it was the face, line by line, of André de Brissac. And most vividly of all, she described the mark of the blow. And Hector carried his wife away from the chateau to the southern provinces and into the heart of Switzerland. But the ghost of André de Brissac followed them.
He will not let me be at peace. He comes between us, Hector. He is standing between us even now. I can see his face with the red mark upon it. Plainer than I can see yours.
One fair moonlight night, when they were together in a mountain village in the Tyrol, Eveline came to her husband. She had been crying.
From the first, I have not hid my sin from heaven. But I fear that death is very near me, and before I die, I would reveal my sin to you.
What sin, my sweet?
When first the stranger came to me in the forest, his presence bewildered and distressed me, and I shrank from him as from something strange and terrible. He came again and again. By and by, I found myself thinking of him and watching for him. His image haunted my mind, haunted me perpetually. I strove in vain to shut out his face. Then followed an interval when I did not see him. To my shame and anguish. Oh, Hector, life to me seemed dull and dreary without him. Then came the time when he haunted the peasants. But, oh, Hector, kill me if you will, for I deserve no mercy at your hands. I grew in those days to count the hours that must elapse before his coming, to take no pleasure at all, save in that pale face with the brand upon it. He plucked all old familiar joys out of my heart, and left it but one weird, unholy pleasure, the delight of his presence. For a year I have lived but to see him. And now, curse me, Hector. For this is my sin. I know I have striven against this wickedness in vain.
Mm-hmm. Hector de Brissac took his wife to his breast and forgave her a sin she was never guilty of. And the next night she died, with her hand clasped in her husband's. And at the very last she told him, sobbing and deeply afraid, that he, André de Brissac, was by her side.
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.